Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Ari Berman, who's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. He's written extensively about American politics, foreign policy, and the intersection of money and politics. He's the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ari Berman.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for having me back.
And clearly the results of the elections yesterday in Maine, Arizona, in Mississippi, and in Ohio indicate, I think, that the voters are basically saying to the Republicans that you've gone too far.
Exactly. I mean, we've seen since the 2010 election, Republicans passed a lot of very radical pieces of legislation, and this was really the first time that voters could challenge them. It's very difficult to actually organize recall campaigns to put issues on the ballot and then to have them actually overturn existing law. But that's what happened in Maine, for example. That's what happened in Ohio. So that was a pretty clear rebuke of the Republican governors there. And I think it showed that the conservative wave that allowed a lot of Republicans to win in 2010 has ebbed somewhat. And voters might not be crazy about President Obama or the Democrats, but they're unhappy with the radical agenda of the GOP. They don't see them addressing the economy or making it better either. And so we have a very volatile political climate where when one of the parties takes it too far, and in this case, the Republicans clearly took it too far, there is a backlash, and we saw that in the results last night.
So it's not 2008 again, and it's certainly a rebuke of 2010. So what is it? What would you say it is?
I think we're somewhere in between. Let's say it's 2009. or let's say it's 2011. I mean, the dynamic is just its own dynamic where we don't have the progressive euphoria that followed Obama's campaign and that sense of hope that we had back then. But we also don't have this very strong conservative tide that swept so many Republicans in 2010. And voters now have had a chance to see what Republicans would do differently, and they clearly don't like the results. They don't like the results from Republican governors. They don't like the results from the Republican Congress. We've seen the approval ratings of both of those groups go down dramatically, and that's basically why the 2012 election is so up for grabs, because voters aren't really happy with either party, and so what we're seeing right now is this was a rebuke to the Republicans because they're the party in power. And I think we saw in 2006, we saw an anti-incumbent election. In 2008, we saw an anti-incumbent election. In 2010, we saw an anti-incumbent election. And I'm pretty sure we're headed towards another anti-incumbent election in 2012.
Could you say then, Ari Berman, that this is a victory for voting rights, as it was in Maine, workers' rights, as it was in Ohio, women's rights, as it was in Mississippi, and immigrants' rights, as it was in Arizona?
I do think, for the most part, that's fair to say. I mean, it isn't super clear-cut in some states, but yeah, I mean, it is true. If you look at Ohio, it was a major victory for labor rights. If you look at Maine, the fact that they restored Election Day registration there, which 60,000 people used in 2008, that was a major victory for voting rights. There was a bit of a setback in Mississippi, which became the seventh state to mandate government-issued photo ID since the 2010 election, but there was also a victory in Mississippi with the defeat of the personhood initiative in a very, very conservative, deep red state. And then in Arizona, you had an interesting situation where one of the most radical anti-immigrant legislators was actually repealed by a member of his own party, which goes to show you that the really strong anti-immigrant wing of the party, which I think includes most of the Tea Party, may not be in control of the balance of power everywhere, that a number of Republicans believe that being so far to the right on immigration is bad policy, but it's also bad politics, and you saw that in Arizona. So yeah, I mean, since the 2010 election, Republicans, it's funny, they ran on individual choice, and they always do, but then they restricted the rights of so many people, whether it's the right to organize or the right to vote or the right of individual choice of your own body. And basically, this was a rebuke of that overreach.
Again, I'm speaking with Ari Berman, who's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. So starting with Maine, what the voters overturned there was a very popular law that allowed you to vote and register and vote on the same day. And frankly, it always amazes me how difficult it is to vote in this country with all the states having different rules, many of them extremely restrictive, going back to the Jim Crow era. This was one of the more liberal and more in line with the rest of the Western democracies, the state of Maine. Is that a signal, do you think, that these other efforts, which are very successful by the Republicans in many states to restrict voters' access, aimed at largely at the Democratic base, the poor and elderly, do you think there's any chance that other states can overturn it, or is it too late in Georgia?
Well, there is some question. In Ohio, for example, there's been a cutback on early voting and other portions of voting rights. And they do have enough signatures to put that on the 2012 ballot, which did two things. I mean, number one, it froze the implementation of the law, and number two, it gave voters a chance to actually cast judgment on it. My sense is that's going to be repealed, too, because there's absolutely no reason to do what they did in Ohio, which is they cut early voting from 14 to 8 days before the election, and they banned early voting on the Sunday before the election. And the reasons they did that is because Black churches historically mobilized their constituents on the Sunday before the election, and that's bad for Republicans. And so we've seen that not only in Ohio, but also in Florida. And there's really been this unprecedented war on voting by the Republicans since the 2010 election. You've had a dozen states pass very restrictive voting laws. That's never happened before in this country in such a short period of time since the, you know, post Voting Rights Act era. And really, this was the first chance in Maine for voters to actually do something about it. Now, a lot of the other laws are going to be difficult to overturn. And I don't know if we're going to see as enthusiastic of a repeal campaign. I mean, in Maine, they gathered 70,000 signatures in less than a month. So that's a pretty impressive organizing effort, and one that you won't necessarily see repeated across the country. The other thing that happened was a lot of these voting rights restrictions happened in red states where they're okay with them. But in Maine, you have a swing state that leans blue, and voters were not happy about it there.
So, Ari Berman, in terms of workers' rights, I saw Governor John Kasich of Ohio look quite chastened by the results. I mean, he was almost blindsided. Do you think he was sincere? Since, I mean, he's an ideologue. He goes from being a congressman to a Fox News commentator to a governor.
It's hard to know if he's sincere, but anytime you lose that badly, you have to appear at least contrite. And it is a difficult situation there because he's, you know, a governor of a very, very important battleground state, and they don't want this similar energy that workers and progressives and Democrats had in that state to carry over to 2012. Republicans know they absolutely have to win Ohio if they want to have a chance at winning back the White House. And so anytime voters rebel against you that seriously, you have to think about what you're doing and whether you've gone too far and whether you've lost the trust of the public. Kasich is now the second most unpopular governor in the country. Given how mad Americans are at their elected representatives, that's actually saying a lot.
Who's the most unpopular?
It was Scott, for a while, Governor Rick Scott of Florida, another Tea Party governor who has just governed like an absolute crazed right winger on so many different fronts. And if the election were held today down in Florida, he, I believe, would get crushed.
And he, of course, is a mega felon, having paid a fine of $1.5 billion. I believe it's one of the biggest fines in American history.
It was the largest Medicare fine in American history.
Right.
For Medicare fraud.
So let's just turn then to the Occupy Wall Street movement. And I've spoken to a number of people in Zuccotti Park and also down here at Occupy Los Angeles. And there's a pretty consistent refrain amongst a lot of occupiers, if that's the right word, that they don't want to vote. They're not interested in voting. They certainly don't. They're not interested in becoming an extension of the Democratic Party. And they certainly don't see themselves as being in any way associated with the Republican Party. But doesn't what happened yesterday show that bad laws can be overturned if people get off their backsides and vote? I would think it indicates that people have to vote because there's an awful lot of bad laws out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have to happen in tandem, right? I mean, the deep structure reforms that Occupy Wall Street and its related groups are talking about are very valid. The need to get money out of politics, the need to reduce the gap between the 1% and the 99% and restore a sense of fairness in American society. But there's also a lot of policy choices that come out of that, right? And if you don't vote, then you don't have a say in those policy choices. And we saw that in 2010, a lot of people of progressive and democratic persuasions decided not to vote. As a result, a huge number of conservative legislators and governors were put in power, and they enacted a lot of very radical laws that, had there been a larger democratic or progressive turnout, they wouldn't have been elected, and they wouldn't have been able to push through those laws. So, yeah, it's important to occupy Wall Street, but you also, in a sense, have to occupy the polls, because simply sitting out an election leaves a major void. And the people that fill that void, they are the John Kasichs of the world, they are the Koch brothers of the world, they are the Tea Party. And those people are going to show up again in 2012. And so if progressives and Democrats don't show up, then conservatives will win again, and they'll continue to pass very radical pieces of legislation that are going to be very difficult to overturn.
So in closing, Ari Berman, what's the takeaway here? That politics are Pavlovian? And when things get terribly bad, do people react and then step up? Or
to some extent, yes. I mean, I do think that's true. Things got very bad in the Bush era, and people rallied around President Obama. Then there was a lot of disappointment, so they didn't vote. Conversely, Republicans were very motivated to vote. And then we saw recently, both in Wisconsin and then again on last night, a lot of Democrats getting energized again. And I think in 2012, both parties are probably going to be fairly energized. Republicans are going to be energized trying to defeat the president, and Democrats are going to be fairly energized trying to defeat some of these radical Republicans. They might not be as energized about President Obama, but I know all across the country, people are very energized by state and local issues right now, because the states have really become the real political battleground. So I do think this was a good night on the whole for Democrats, but it's hard to really know if it'll translate a year out into the next election.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here, Ari Berman.
Thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Ari Berman, who's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. He has written extensively about American politics, foreign policy, and the intersection of money and politics. He's the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began with David Albright, who is truly a insider in the murky, dark world of nuclear proliferation. He was on the IAEA's action team from 92 to 97, became the first non-government inspector of Iraq's nuclear weapons program. Clearly has very, very inside information. And the stuff we learned, for example, I didn't realize Taiwan had a secret nuclear program that was dismantled. I think a lot of information came out in this interview, particularly, of course, about Iran's nuclear program, which was the subject of this report that was just released by the IAEA. It's pretty convincing that AQ Khan's network gave them the designs for nuclear weapons, or Russians, nuclear scientists gave them the firing mechanism, the most sophisticated and highly classified part of a nuclear weapon, and it's just a matter of time before they get a nuclear weapon. He, of course, thought it was crazy to bomb them and kill their scientists, and feels that there is a way to negotiate out of this situation. Then I spoke with Alexander Stiller, the specialist on Berlusconi. He's written about him in lots and lots of outlets, and he really gave us a portrait of this sleazy guy, this titan of sleaze who combines the worst of Donald Trump and Rupert Murdoch. Hopefully his days are numbered, but Italy, he's leaving Italy in a complete disastrous state. And then finally, we spoke about the elections yesterday in Mississippi, Ohio, Arizona, Maine, very hopeful signs that people, when they get out to vote, they can reverse these terrible laws, which clearly the Republicans have overreached in the last couple of years, trying to shut down voters' rights, women's rights, immigrants' rights, and workers' rights. And people, when they show up at the polls, they can make a difference. And that was what happened yesterday.
This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. You can get this program by signing up for podcast at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Tell stories to me about the places he had.
you love.